Welcome to the Daily Path Podcast, where it's all about building an authentic life and business. I'm your host, Joe Winters Jr., and now for today's message. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Daily Path Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Winters Jr., and today I'm joined by Lisa A. Kramer, who is the founder of Spark Collaborative, which is a group of people with many different interests and creative pursuits who desire to embrace their multiple potentials and redefine how they live, work, and function in a complex world. Lisa is also the author of 7 books, with her most recent book being titled Recreating the World, The Power and Joy of Collaborative Creativity. Lisa, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So today I would like to talk to you about how you support your community, your process for getting people into your community, and how you got to where you are today. So please start by telling us, what inspired you to start Spark Collaborative?
Well, this is something that was created with my partner, Jessica, and we were just trying to find a way to explore the fact that so many people have different interests and different interests that encompass lots of things. Like, it's hard to define an I am a teacher, or I am just an entrepreneur, or I am just right. This, because nobody has only one identity. And absolutely, we wanted to explore that. And then both of us have this passion for creativity, or for the fact that a lot of people have lost touch with our creativity, which means like they might be bored with their work, but, and they want to be able to explore that creative side of them, but they don't know how to do it. So it just became a place to bring people together who had different interests. Maybe they were feeling stuck. Maybe they just need a release. And now it's slowly growing to become a place where people can support each other in shifts, in creative shifts, in incorporating more creativity into their work, and maybe expanding what their work does in ways that hadn't been expected. The ultimate goal, although it has a long way before it gets there, is to bring people in who want to share their own knowledge and help other people raise up in really creative ways, whether that's bringing in a business person to help people approach their own business plans and figure out new approaches that might, because nothing's working. I mean, how many times have we gotten lessons of how to do something and it doesn't work for their idea? So it's kind of like that. I'm bringing experts together with people who are trying to become experts or learning and growing. It's a learning and growing community. Yeah.
That's awesome. And when you say that you and your partner, is this romantic partner that turned business partner or business partner?
A friendship partner. Haven't even actually met in real life yet. We met through another community that we were doing some work with, and we just really connected. I've done some work for her. She works in Wisconsin with the extended learning that's associated with the colleges there, and I've done some work and training for her, but this was just kind of a relationship born during 2020 when you couldn't actually meet me.
Oh, wow. So if you don't mind, for listeners who are, you know, in the early stages of building a business and they are looking for a partner, or they're considering a partner, especially, you know, if they, like yourself, have met some people that they're considering partnering with online, what were some things that you considered when you decided to partner with the partner you have? What'd you say your partner's name was?
Jessica Beckendorf, if you want to, but you can call her Jessica.
Jessica. Okay. So what were some things you were considering looking for when making your decision to partner with Jessica, and any insights you have for any entrepreneurs that are looking to go down that same path?
For me, it's kind of a combination of wanting to work with people who are like-minded in the sense of valuing creativity, or valuing listening and connecting and building communities and collaboration, but also can balance the places where I may not be strong. So Jess is a real, like, she likes to learn the technology and stuff. And since this was a web-based thing, we needed someone who's willing to do that stuff. And it's not that I can't, it's that Mine's always going with ideas, 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 and to have someone who's like, okay, I'll put those ideas down and get it. So balance, there's a balance that there has to be a willingness that I'll do this work and she'll do that work. But we always come together, we always check in with each other, and sometimes we disagree. So it has to be, for me, our collaborative relationship has to be open to disagreement, but not where somebody's gonna, if they're in disagreement, where we're gonna listen to each other, where we're gonna say, well, I don't think you're right here, but let's either come up with a new solution or let's come up with, where you're not gonna duke it out and then it ends. It's tricky because, I mean, we, like I said, we still haven't really met and we do run into conflicts, and she's, her job is for full time, mine's not. So, like, I might be like going 10 million miles a minute, and she doesn't have the time for it. And so I have to step back and say, okay, well, I can wait. And that can get frustrating at times, but it for us, the passion or the goal is about how do we help people communicate better. And if we can't do it, if we can't collaborate, then we shouldn't be doing what we're doing.
That makes sense. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like you're saying that you two were aligned on the same goals, aligned on core values or a key set of values, and but different when it came to certain skills.
Yes, definitely. And I think you have to balance things out. That, I mean, like I said, it's not that I have a really flexible set of skills. So if I really needed to, I could do the tech, but will take me longer. It will take me longer to do XYZ, whereas you want someone who can, who can think that way, who can just sit down and just do it. And that's true for any team. You don't want a team of people who are all the same, but they all have to be at least associated, like have the same core values, or at the very least the same goals,
Absolutely. When you started your community, what would you say was the most important thing to you in terms of how you wanted to build it?
I guess for me, it's all about ensuring safety for whoever's participating in a community. So that means of building slowly because you have to build senses of trust before inviting people in. We didn't want, I mean, right now it's a free community at the moment. We're shifting a little bit to a small pay, but it starts for out free at least. And we invited people that we knew would be interested in this kind of community building. But so it was people we already had interacted with. It needs to grow beyond that. I want it to grow beyond that, but I guess I'm still very cautious because I don't want someone to come in and not listen. And we've made mistakes. There was a woman who came in and was participating. One of the things we do on the community is I lead writing workshops that are for anyone. It could be for not just writers, but it's, if you want to do business writing, it just inspires people to kind of get in touch with their own voice. And there was a woman who was completely on the extreme opposite side of the political spectrum with me, the everything spectrum. And I was like determined I was going to let her stay, and it became really tough. She's since left, and it was probably a good thing, but I learned from that mistake is that as much as I do believe that communication collaboration can heal some problems and have us work together, there's just some things that you can't change. So I'd rather go slow and steady and add people just because they find us interesting, or they think that they're going to be able to contribute and receive, because it's about sharing ideas and stuff like that. It's not about us teaching necessarily as everyone teaching each other, and let it grow naturally. For me, natural growth is the key,
Absolutely. That makes sense. Now, I know this is a lesson you had learned with the individual that you're sharing, and you said that she eventually just left, which was probably best for everyone. But in the event that she didn't leave, like how would you would have approached the conversation of like maybe this is not working out for those that maybe they are dealing with members that maybe we have some listeners that have a community where they're dealing with members who are not listening. They're not a great fit for the community, and they've been just like, let them stay, let them stay, let them stay. But they could tell that their relationship has run its course. Like, how would you approach a conversation of that nature where it's time to cut ties?
It's going to depend on the individual. That's one thing I would attempt to. I mean, I've done this more in when I was teaching in higher education, where I would sit down with the student and say, "Okay, you and I are never going to see eye to eye on this." And I was always a teacher that was like, "Do what you want to do. You can fight. You can say things or present things that are completely opposite what I believe. That's fine. But it's about how you respect each other." And if that was not working, I would be like, "Your choice is drop the class, or we will continue to work together, but don't, but respect that I'm the professor." That was the main thing. In a case like this, in the community, I would say, "Hey, I probably would provide a list of, this might be a better community for you, or this might be something that would work better for you." In the case of this specific individual, she was intent on just pushing me as far as she could go. So that did not work. I'm not perfect. It basically ended up with me saying, "Okay, done, block, you're gone." That was kind of what happened. So do as I dream of, not necessarily as I
I certainly understand. So, in your community, you provide techniques, practices, and support to members so that everyone can unapologetically live and work in ways that ignite their creativity. I'm also aware in your book, you do the exact same thing. Do you mind sharing a technique or practice that you like to use in your community or that you share in your book that helps listeners or members of your community with their creativity?
Okay. Well, I come from, my roots are in theater, but also in writing. I was teaching in higher education for a long time, mostly in theater, but I kind of shifted around into a lot of different fields. And I was teaching a liberal studies class, which is basically a class that was for all of those people who didn't know what to wanted to create their own majors because they didn't know what they wanted to study or whatever, and or were combining things in weird ways. And I was there and I was meeting all of these people. Like, a lot of them had science focused or business focus or like different focuses than the arts. There weren't very many in the arts, but because I come from an arts background, I teach very much with, like, I use improvisation. I use all the skills that come from a theater classroom, but that doesn't mean about putting on a play. And I noticed that it enabled people to think outside, like to incorporate some new techniques that helped enhance their field. So, like, there was one young woman who wanted to advocate for she was there was a specific place in Africa, I don't remember the country, I'm sorry, but that is like inundated with garbage right now. That the infrastructure doesn't handle garbage well. It's going into their water and stuff. And so she wanted to do some not educational programming and fighting to get better infrastructure in that country. And then I she but she was also a singer. And I was like, "Why can't you do both? Why can't you incorporate both?" And she ended up creating this fabulous, like, PSA video with music and images from the country and facts and stuff like that that could be used by a nonprofit that's already there to help start fundraising. And what a great way to do it. So it just made me realize that when we allow ourselves to be creative, we find new solutions to problems. Has it solved the problem yet? No, but it at least has raised consciousness in there. So I will borrow from techniques like, if somebody's struggling to communicate with a person, I'll set up improvisational scenarios. People freak out, "Oh my God, improv," but it's not like that. It's just a tool for communication.
Can you give us
I
an
do a
example
lot
for
of
those who
writing
don't know?
workshops. But
Can you give us an example for those who don't know?
So improvisation, one of the key rules, and I write a lot about this in the book, is the concept of yes and this has been applied to business before. It's not like I'm unique, but the concept of yes and is that you accept ideas that are given to you And then you continue. So in improvisation, it's accepting whatever that first line is and building on it. So it could be somebody saying, I'm an alien, take me to your leader, and then you build on that. But for me, when it comes to creativity and communication, it's the concept of putting aside limitations, like we don't have the money for it, or this is impossible, or there's no way to do it, and just building on ideas until you just kind of you expand and enter the ridiculous. But in there is the nugget of whatever the solution to a problem might be. Or like, so it could be about, well, I don't want to work from home anymore, or I don't want to come into work could be a problem that the business side of things is trying to say. And yet having conversations that just don't negate, don't say you can't do it, but just explore all of the different options, then somewhere you can find that nugget of, okay, this is what will work for both of us, whatever that solution is.
So can I ask you, so if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying taking something and just following it with yes and then filling in the blank.
And filling in the blanks and allowing it to go wherever it goes, and not to assume that you're gonna that I mean, it can take you into wild places. You could, because you're not limiting yourself by reality. But that's where ideas come from.
Absolutely.
That's where innovation comes from.
Absolutely.
And that's where you go, okay, once you've had that conversation in an improvisational way, then you can back down. Okay, now let's do this. How can we make this part of it happen? Because we can't make anything else happen. We can't do it in outer space. We can't do, whatever. But we can do X, Y, something else.
When you are faced with someone who they're willing to go through this exercise that allows them to explore their imagination, not be limited by reality, and come up with, a number of possibilities, but they're resistant because, it's just not real. I mean, I've like, so I'm an imaginative person. Like I'm not limited by reality, but I've met a lot of people that are the bipolar opposite. And so when you come in contact with that person where you could use this yes and technique and you explore these different possibilities, but they're resistant to it because it's not real. Like what have you found that works to help them break through this, like, I don't know, this limiting belief of like, yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, that's not real. Like how, what do you do?
There's a dot again, every situation is different, but there's a dynamic of allowing people to just observe this happening first and recognizing and letting them like see it come to life. So modeling it, maybe you're doing it with different people or something. There's also, I would never just leave it at this yes and. Then I would continue and say, okay. So for example, if I was doing a problem that is very work like job specific or career, company specific, I would allow that free form, and then I'd probably break up into smaller groups, which incorporates not just like if you're working with engineers, for example, it wouldn't just be all engineers in one group. You'd have an engineer in there, you'd have a money person in there, you'd have someone from each thing so that they kind of then condense what the total big imagination is down into something more realistic, but from there each but working across perspectives, because that's another thing that for me is really important. I talk a lot about it in the book, is that I think one of the flaws that we face in our society right now is that people are so entrenched in their one way of doing things that they cannot see past it.
I agree.
So it's for me, it's about like let your imagination go, then come back and go from a realistic perspective. Like you can't build this because and it's not going to work, it will fall down. But you could say, okay, well, if we can't build it exactly this way, what if we approached it this way? Someone else could, you know what I mean?
Right,
And
right,
if we
right,
had
right.
the money, so it's about building upon like using tools like improvisation, like I do a lot of writing creativity stuff or drawing or whatever to just spark the ideas, and then you always have to bring it back to reality. It's the same in a way as putting on a show for a theater, which again, that's my foundation, is like if I mostly direct. I mean, I have performed, but I'm mostly a director, and I always have a vague idea it shifts, but a vague idea of what you want the show to look like at the end. But how you get there can be this imaginative, twisted, crazy little journey and rehearsal and discussion and blah, 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 till eventually you condense it all together and you have that final product. That's the pro It's all about the process of getting there instead of just the product itself.
That
So,
makes
and it
sense.
doesn't happen in one night. It happens in 6 weeks or 4 weeks or, however much time.
For listeners who may be interested in starting and growing a community, I know you said that your community currently is a free community. You're shifting to a paid community, but do you mind sharing how you went about starting your community and then getting the first members in it? Like, I know you said you reached out to people that you knew would be a great fit for the community, but I guess sharing just how that conversation took place or how those conversations kind of take place.
Well, it did start. Jess was learning about, I forgot the name of the platform. Let's pause for a second. Okay. Let me l research my own stuff. Ah. Okay. All right. So the community we have is built on Night Mighty Networks. And she had taken training in that. So that's the platform that we used. It's built to be this kind of like developing communities around a theme and stuff. And they have all of these like how to monetize it and things like that. And I think that's a great foundation. The problem is because it's kind of its own network, it's hard to get the information out in the world. It's hard to market it. It's hard. So what I do is anything that I'm any chance that I get, I mention, I post in multiple on multiple platforms, and invite people and include the links and things like that. I use LinkedIn a lot for it. I just recently started a Substack. I haven't done it much there because I'm just growing the Substack first. Like you have to take increments, but everything I do is kind of intertwined with everything else I do. So I try and I'm not just Spark Collaborative. I'm myself. I'm this author person. And so I try and do as much cross-pollination as I can. And I invite friends, like when I invite someone in, I always ask them to invite someone in. Does it always work? No. And the thing you also will find is that our community right now is not large, but the ones who are active are really active. There's also some that just are there. And I think that's true for, I think the numbers, that's the way it goes. Just like
Any group.
anything that you do, you're going to get some people who are really active, and then you're just going to have the hangers on. So I just suggest you put yourself, you have all of your links available. You cross-pollinate, you shift things a little bit, and announce classes and things in different locations, encouraging people to join. I admit that I haven't found the magic key to, like I recently decided to start YouTube and that, and I look at the numbers of those people who are like millions, have millions of followers, and I'm like, what? Do that? How actually do you do it? But it's slow. It's for me, it's all about make quality content that's consistent with who you are and an authentic your authentic voice, and eventually the right people will find
And
you.
I definitely agree with that. So you mentioned that you post on several different platforms, you include your links. Do you tend to like jump on a call with people before they join the community type of deal? Do you allow people to join the community and then you kind of talk with them from there? Like, I guess, like how does that part go, or what has worked for you and Jessica so far?
We've experimented with a few things. I usually, if I notice someone has joined, I'll invite, send a like, at least a welcome post and talk about some of the things. We were doing monthly kind of community gatherings that kind of faded because of things, but I want to get back into that. We offer Right now, the only paid part of the community are the workshops that I do in writing, and I'll offer at least once a month, I offer a free one so that people can just experience what it is, because it's a unique approach to writing and stuff like that. So, and then that often will help people come in and join. It's very, for me, it's very one-on-one. If someone's interested and I think that they'd be a good fit, I will say, hey, come join it. So it is, it's, so it's usually me talking to somebody first before they join the community, rather than them once they've gotten in to
That
the
makes
community.
no that definitely makes sense. So you're also the author of 7 books, as I mentioned earlier, with your most recent book being Recreating the World: The Power and Joy of Collaborative Creativity. What was your inspiration behind the book? I mean, I know you love creativity, you know that's clear,
No,
but yeah,
but
what was
my
your inspiration for the
inspiration
book?
does lie in the fact that I think that what is, I've done a lot of research into kind of future of jobs, what people are looking for. And even though many jobs are skills based, from the academic standpoint, there it's like people are focusing on skills. But from the employer standpoint, they're like, we need people who can think creatively. We need people who can be flexible. We need people who can adapt to different situations, who can communicate, who can. Those are all things that come from learning creatively. Those are not things that come from learning how to program or learning your math or your science. I mean, there's elements of it that are in there. And I think it's really risky for us to forget that kind of human-based aspect of who we are and how to communicate across it. Because I've run into so many people who are so awesome at their skills, but don't know how to talk, don't know how to question, don't know how to argue, you know? And so for me, I also recognize, like I mentioned before, we're all in our silos. We're all in like, well, the solution is going to be monetary, or the solution is going to be this, it is going to be engineering, or the solution is going to be writing or whatever the, you know, but it's in within a box. And I'm like, what if the solution is all of those coming together? How do you make that happen? So for me, the book concept came out of that concept of collaboration. Often when we think of creativity, we think of individuals, you know, the individual writer sitting and typing and pouring blood into the novel or something, the painter locked away until he chops off his ear. What? I mean, those are the traditions of the past. But for me, when I recognize that creativity is never done in a vacuum, you're always writing to someone, even if that someone is yourself. There's always an audience, there's always a call and response. You're always building on other creative acts by other creative people. So kind of, so the inspiration of the book is like, it starts with the personal, it starts with finding your own creative voice, and then it expands to reaching out. How do you turn, like, how do you, why write a book if nobody's going to read it? Why, you don't paint a picture so that nobody sees it. You don't create a video so it sits there and doesn't get views. You don't create a business so nobody uses it. Because this create, you still create, you know. So it's focusing on how we can understand that relationship between the person doing and other people, and how we can make those relationships stronger and build together. So that for me, I guess a lot of what I'm looking to do with Spark Collaborative and with all of my other things is help companies and maybe educational programs and communities connect better so that they can create things that benefit everybody, not just the pocketbook of the owners or not just the business plan. We have to move beyond that kind of,
That makes
that it's
sense.
just about the money, bottom line kind of
Yeah,
thing.
that certainly makes sense. For the listener that is struggling with creativity and wants to be more creative, what piece of advice would you offer them?
The first step is just being willing to play. And play is a dangerous world when you're talking to adults. Play. It's a, you know, but you have to be willing to just try something. Sit down. I often have We'll do videos with short prompts that you can use in any way. Watch a video of mine on my YouTube things where it's like, the prompt might be something like, take a walk and then make a list of the things that you see and then create something out of it. I mean, it's as vague as that, but it's a willingness to play, a willingness to fail, huge thing, because you're not, I mean, I can't draw for anything. I'm a master of stick figures. I love stick figures and I will do them all the time. But I'm not ashamed to show my stick figures and say, this is art. Because it's good art, but it's art. And I'm okay with someone laughing at it because I'm really proud that I've achieved it. So that's the thing. And then finding a community who's going to support your mistakes and support your approach. One thing that I focus very much on is focusing on the positive aspects. So you st show a picture with stick figures. Okay, the stick figures are bad, but what's the message behind it? That might be a positive statement. And you focus on that rather than what you do wrong. And we live in a society where we focus on what we do wrong, where we get critiqued, we get attacked, we get, you know. So finding a community that will not attack you will just celebrate whatever you achieved. And that
Absolutely.
can be an online community, or that can be friends, or that can be the people you meet in the coffee shop, or whatever.
Absolutely. For those that want to explore your community, can you please share where they can find you?
Sparkcollaborative.org. You just have to click on there, and then there's a way to register. And it does ask for, like, you have to fill in your information 2 times just because of weird mailing list issues and stuff like that. But once you do it, it's really, you're done, you're in. So sparkcollaborative.org. You can also find me on LinkedIn. You can find me, my own personal website is lisaakramer.com. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Spoutable. I don't go on Twitter anymore. I'm on Spoutable if you want to find me there. I'm Dr. Lisa K there. And I'm very open to, like, people reaching out even through direct messages, as long as you have a reason and you don't just say hi or hello or how's it going.
Thank you for sharing. I will also be including the links in the
Yeah.
show notes as well. So, with you being a writer, speaker, author, leader of a community, I know it's important for you to invest in yourself and continue growing yourself. I mean, you are also in higher education. So if you don't mind, what are some of the personal development practices that have helped you grow as a leader, even if it's, just one? Like, what's something you like to do that fills your cup and helps you develop yourself as a leader?
I meditate to the extent, I mean, I'm not an expert, but I do take time to and to just be in the moment. I do a lot of walking. I play with my dogs. If I could, I mean, I'm still growing, so I don't have a lot of financial freedom, but if I could, I would be traveling more and things like that. I carry a notebook around with me so I can I can write ideas down as I'm going, but not be trapped at my desk. I do leave my desk once in a while. This is important. And shift location. So, and this is pretty recent, but I'm very careful about my schedule. I don't work all day every day. I think it's really unhealthy to do that. So I'm working on different projects. I might be working on YouTube for one thing, but I have another novel that I'm working on that is purely for me. It's purely fun, and it's purely, so I'll spend time writing that and not worry about whether it's gonna, where it's going or anything. I do a lot of that kind of stuff. And I play with things. I play a lot of different things.
Thank you
And
for sharing.
reading all
Thank
the
you.
time.
So, speaking of reading, what is one book that has helped you in your entrepreneurial journey or in your professional journey?
Trying to think of what I've read recently that really inspired me. I'm thinking. My reading is so eclectic. I don't do a lot of reading with with like the experts and entrepreneurs. I read like people who are in the creative sector that have successful careers, and even like Michelle Obama or something like that, the people who are talking about life, but it's also their life is also really connected to a career. So you know what I mean? Or two. So I don't have a specific book because I read so, you know, I can get inspired by a fiction book where it's like, oh, this person started their dream coffee shop bookstore and I wanted to kind of thing. So I really don't have a great recommendation. Yeah, sorry.
You're fine. So what's next for you? What is your number one vision, or I'm sorry, what is your vision or number one business goal for the next year?
For the coming year, I would like to pick up a few more clients that I so part of my business is working to design programs that are specific to specific needs. So I would like to pick up at least two or three either nonprofits or business clients who want to create something that helps them communicate with their community. I'm also, like I said, I'm writing a nonfiction book. I want to get that out this year. And I want to, I'm trying to get into a more regular schedule of putting video out. I want to start my own podcast. See, I have a lot of interest. And also, but I also
We can
have,
help you
like,
with
I do
that.
have some side work that actually pays decently and stuff. So I make sure that I do like a couple of hours of that every day. So you can't pinpoint me, and I'm everywhere.
It sounds like you have a lot
Yeah.
on the horizon
The
here at the end of the
horizon,
next
yeah.
year. My final question for you today is, if there was a principle or a practice that you weren't able to share today and you would like to share, what would it be?
I guess it's the principle that we don't have to be defined by one thing, and that is okay to pursue all of your passions in different ways. It's hard. It's not necessarily quick and easy money, but to me, living a life where I'm doing what I enjoy in whatever ways it is much more important than the pocketbook. And that might sound privileged, but I'm not. I mean, I'm middle class. I don't have a lot of money or anything, but it's just really about I'd rather be living true to my authentic self and true to my passions than worrying every day about becoming rich, becoming wealthy, you know, about that top, you know, getting the most, you know. And no, I'm not saying I don't want to make money. I do, but you know what I mean?
I definitely understand what you mean. You want to be able to be successful, being the person that you were destined to be, instead of, you
I mean,
know.
I guess it comes down to defining what success is for yourself, and that's really important to me, is to be able to say I'm successful because I'm doing what I want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lisa, thank you for joining me on Daily Path Podcast today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. It was fun. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. To my listeners, I hope you take something that you learned from today's show and you apply it in your daily path. Until next time, have a blessed day. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Daily Path Podcast. If you would like to launch your own podcast show to expand your reach, grow your network, and sign more premium clients for your business, visit dailypathacademy.com to learn how we can help you launch an impactful podcast that changes lives around the world and acquires high-ticket clients for your business. That's dailypathacademy.com.